It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
Hey, hey, where you been? Buckeye Talk is about to begin. Hey, 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 come on in.
Welcome back to Buckeye Talk. I'm Stephen Means. That's Nathan Baird. And this is your official wrap-up of the 2024 NFL Draft. Ohio State had 9 guys hoping to get drafted. They ended up with 4. When we did our prediction, we all predicted 5 players. They ended up with 4. Marvin Harrison Jr., number 4 pick to the Cardinals. Nathan, you had him going to the Chargers at number 5. Andrew and I both had him going to the Cardinals. Michael Hall Jr., Nathan and I had him going 52nd to the Rams. Andrew had him going 49th to the Bengals. He ends up, well, we all get half a point because Andrew at least had him staying in the state, and we both had him in the 50s. So ends up going 54 to the Cleveland Browns, the only second-round draft pick, which they went and got Zach Zinter later on in the third round, and which was kind of cool, and they're like playing on it right now, the fact that they're going from rivals to being teammates at this point. They did like a stepbrothers bit on Twitter. Cade Stover, I had him 95th to the Kansas City Chiefs. Nathan, you had him 102 to Seattle. Andrew had him at Washington at 100. Falls a little bit, kind of fell amongst the tight ends because there was a bit of a tight end run there. 123rd to the Houston Texans in the fourth round, so he does reconnect with C.J. Stroud. And then Tommy Eichenberg going earlier than all of us had him expected to go. Andrew and I sent him to the Steelers at 178. And then Nathan, you had him 176 to the San Francisco 49ers. He ends up going to the Raiders at 148 in the fifth round. And the only other guy we predicted, Josh Proctor, had him 245 to the Packers. You had him 219 to the Packers. Andrew, 250 to the Ravens. He doesn't get drafted. Xavier Johnson also doesn't get drafted. Steel Chambers, Matthew Jones, Mayan Williams also don't get drafted as well. Get the text, 614-350-3315. We're recording this right after the NFL draft, so some of the undrafted free agent stuff is still happening. So if we're not, we'll probably mention it throughout this pod as stuff happens while we're recording, but that information is going to go through the text first. A couple other guys, just for the sake of throwing them out there. Ryan Watts, former Ohio State football player, transferred to Texas, went 195 to the Pittsburgh Steelers in the sixth round. And then Javonte Jean-Baptiste, the former defensive lineman who transferred to Notre Dame for his final year, goes to the Commanders at 222 in the seventh round. But for Ohio State, Nathan, 4 guys. That's the first time they've been under 5 since 2013. So we're talking the first year of the Urban Meyer era, that first draft, that's the first time they didn't go that way. You called it incomplete before the draft. It's probably lived up to that, and we'll get into why along in this. We're going to do a lot more looking forward because it was very clear. I think we prepared people well that this was probably going to be a short draft. Any shockers? Amongst those 4, not short, but
you know. It wasn't short. Well, I watched every second of the thing.
Yeah, this was ridiculous.
This is just as long as all the others.
Yeah, man, it's
we're small class for Ohio State is what you mean.
Yeah,
to
small
say.
Class for Ohio State. Any shockers amongst that group though? Maybe going higher, going lower than you were expecting.
No, I wouldn't say anything there shocked me. We were in the right ballpark on everybody, as you said. Eichenberg did go like almost. We were all thinking like low fifth round. He went high fifth round. So at least we were all in the fifth round on him. And, you know, Proctor, I guess, going undrafted isn't a shock. We were all just a little overly optimistic on that. But again, with guys like that, once you get down into the end of the sixth and on into the seventh round, it's nice to say that you were a draft pick. But now you get to control your destiny a little bit more. You get to have your pick of teams. I'm not saying all 32 teams will want you, but you can kind of pick your spot from among maybe a couple of offers as opposed to just taking the one that grabs you. So, he'll be on someone's, he'll get some kind of an undrafted free agent. The only one that's happened so far is Xavier Johnson, according to Jordan Schultz from Bleacher Report, is signing with the Bills on some kind of undrafted free agent deal. There's a range of things that guys get at this stage. Sometimes it's a true undrafted free agent deal. You probably remember a few years ago when, who was it? Outside linebacker. How am I blanking? This is the second time I blanked on his name on this podcast in the past, 6 months. Anyway, signed a nice free agent deal with the 49ers right after the draft. I'll think of it. So sometimes it's kind of a preferred deal. But oftentimes it's, they're kind of standard deals. But yeah, I would expect Proctor. I would expect Steel Chambers. And maybe Mayan Williams, I assume. I don't know exactly where he stands injury-wise right now. But and Matt Jones, all those guys, I would think would probably get some kind of a UFA look.
Okay, so we're not going to break down guy for guy.
Justin Hilliard. Justin Hilliard is a name I forgot. And I forgot him before, and he deserves better than that. Justin Hilliard. I didn't have to look it up. It just struck me like a lightning bolt, finally.
I was having a conversation with somebody about Justin Hilliard a couple of weeks ago, and I couldn't remember his name at the time. I think we were talking about best environments, road game environments, and I just couldn't remember for the life of me the person who tested positive for COVID 5 minutes before the Ohio State-Penn State game in 2020, but it was Justin Hilliard. So shout out to Justin Hilliard, though, man. He came up in some big spots during that 2020 season and in the 2019 season at some times as well. We're not going to run down guys, but some of these guys, I think it's just interesting where they ended up, starting with Mike Hall, where the Browns have been down this road before with the Ohio State defensive tackle who maybe left earlier than his development said he should have left. But, we all have our reasons. Tommy Togiai had his reasons, and they made sense. Michael Hall has his reasons, and they make sense. And the Browns take a flyer on that guy. I don't think the Tommy Togiai one has planned out, but they also didn't take him in the second round. With Michael Hall Jr., though, it seems like the Browns might be able to tap into something because they took him pretty high. So this isn't a stash away and develop a couple of years pick. They're expecting this kid to play football for them in 2024.
Yeah, this isn't a flyer. And, we had seen projections all over the place for Mike going into the draft where I saw him as high as maybe the first 10 picks of the second round. I saw some that were third round picks. And not even that high of a third-round pick. I think there was a variance here, and some of the scuttlebutt you were hearing from some of the coverage was that there was a wide variance in the way teams saw Mike Hall Jr. And the Browns and their relationship with Ohio State probably helped him to some regard here, because it's pretty obvious that there is a relationship with Ohio State at this point. Like, they've just drafted and taken too many guys. I mean, Togiai a couple years ago, DeJuan Jones last year, along with getting Ronnie Hickman and Tanner McAllister as undrafted free agents. They've just had this I-71 pipeline here for the last few years. Not that they haven't, they've got guys before that too, Denzel Ward and whoever else. So, but I think that did probably help him, because whatever questions teams had about Mike Hall Jr., I think the Browns front office trusts Ohio State, at least they appear to. And he really helped himself in the pre-draft process. When he came out early, and he's been very upfront about the fact that there were family reasons for that. He just had a son. He wants to go provide for his family. Admirable. So do I. I feel you. At the same time, that we did have questions what would he have done if he'd come back another year? Could he have really turned himself into a prospect? And to go 52, I think is... that's not nothing, man. That's you're almost in the first, you're just outside the first 50 picks of an NFL draft. That's legitimate. And I think it speaks to the promise that the Browns see in him, because at the NFL level, even if you are a little bit more specialized in some ways, I think they're sometimes okay with that. And obviously if they're taking him 52nd, they want him to be out there a lot. I don't know that he's going, I think long term they want him to develop into an all around, on the field as much as possible defensive tackle. But he's only 21 years old. He has couple, 3 years before he gets to the age that some of these players who are getting drafted are already at. And that is a lot of maturing that can happen physically, mentally, emotionally, everything, to go from 21 to 23 or 24. And I think there's a chance, I think they see in him that the flashes that have been here at Ohio State, if you can make those more consistent, then you're going to be a real weapon at the NFL level. Because every level of football, if you can create interior pressure, you're going to be extremely valuable to a team. And if you look at the Browns and what they were able to bring off the edge with Myles Garrett and the other people that they have, you can see how this starts to fit together really nicely for them. You know, he and Togiai are completely different kinds of players, obviously. Yeah. Togiai being more of a nose, and he was a little bit more of a flyer. Like, also a younger guy that they probably were projecting. But taking him in the fourth round, he had that just Thanos strength and just massive abilities there. It was just a matter of whether he was going to have all the other attributes that you need from a defensive tackle. And like you said, he's been sort of barely rotational at this point, right? He hasn't really broken through. With Mike Hall Jr., I think they expect it to be a quicker climb into being an impact player, and the ceiling is higher.
So one of the things I love, sometimes it's just fun thing to point out, is when the rankings get it right with a kid from the day he graduates from high school to him to the NFL draft.
This is almost like that with
Garrett Wilson. Number 54 pick in the NFL draft, number 53 player in the country coming out of the 2021 recruiting. I just think it's awesome when it works out like that. I think it worked out like that for Garrett too, where he was the second wide receiver taken off the board. And he was the second wide receiver in his recruiting class. Mike Hall, this is actually a big deal for Ohio State. He is the second highest defensive lineman taken in the Ryan Day era behind Chase Young, who was number two. Some other defensive – because you sent this out to our texters, and I didn't even think about it that way until you sent it, 614-350-3315. Here are the top 100 picks on defense since Ryan Day took over the program. Chase Young, number two pick, Washington Redskins, now the Commanders in 2020. Jeff Okuda, number three, in that same draft to the Lions. Damon Arnett to the Raiders at number 19, which we've harped on that. It was probably overdraft. The point is, he's the top 100 pick.
He still would have been top 100, even if.
Still would have been top 100.
The Raiders 100%. Have been saved from themselves.
For sure. Davon Hamilton, number 73, to the Jaguars as a defensive tackle. And then Malik Harrison as a linebacker. He went 98 to the Rams. Next year, you get Pete Warner in that 2021 draft as the number 60 pick to the Saints. Baron Browning's right outside. He's 105. And then after that, you don't have any in 2022. And then in 2023, Zach Harrison goes 75th to the Falcons in the 2023 draft. And now you've got Michael Hall Jr., who's 54th. So it's amongst defensive players, period, it's the three first rounders in that initial draft. And then it's Michael Hall Jr. And it comes at a time when, one, kudos to Michael Hall Jr., because to your point, I think he maximized his draft process with what he was able to do in the Senior Bowl. Now that they opened that up to underclassmen as well, the way he built, he wasn't able to do stuff at the combine, but clearly what he was doing in meetings mattered. And then what he was able to show at his pro day mattered as well. It makes him the 54th pick in the NFL draft, which is, I mean, that's prime real estate. And it's coming at a time, Nathan, where as we get into the projection of later, especially next year on this pod, you got another top 60 pick, and then you might have a couple along the way. So it feels like the drought in terms of NFL draft talent on the defensive side of the ball, the drought that we've seen on that side in terms of the abundance in comparison to the offensive side, it might start to equal itself out a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be an avalanche next year. And maybe under other circumstances, Mike Hall would be part of that avalanche. Maybe if he hadn't just had a son, he would have stuck around like everyone else did. Although, again, to go 52, I think he probably – I don't know if he could have done a whole lot better than that. Depending on – he would have had to come back and do things at a consistency level he had definitely not done yet at Ohio State. But 52 is not bad. But, yeah, next year it's going to be a flood. Like, next year it's going to be at all levels of that defense. Maybe not linebacker, actually. Maybe linebacker will be the one exception. We don't know yet what things hold for Cody Simon as far as his NFL draft ceiling, and certainly for CJ Hicks and Sonny Styles, like whether they're going to make that jump after a third year. Could. We don't know yet what that's going to look like, but we do know for sure Denzel Burke, Lathan Ransom, probably Davis Nigbinosun, certainly the defensive ends, Tyleek Williams, Ty Hamilton. Like, it's going to be a loaded defensive draft class next year for Ohio State, and at some positions where it's really been a drought. So a lot, I think, to look forward to. I kind of wrote a thing earlier this week that really the foundation of what they're going to do next year is based on this defensive draft class that is poised to come. And it would have come this year too. Maybe that's actually the other way to look at it. Like the Mike Hall thing being sort of an outlier. And then Tommy Eichenberg, we knew was also most likely going to get drafted. So you had two this year. It really should have been more like seven or eight if those guys had decided not to come back for another year, right? All these guys would have been drafted. I don't know how many of them would have been the first round, but it would have been plentiful. And I think next year's draft, like we saw what Michigan had today, which was what, 13 players drafted, something like that?
Yeah, I have those numbers. They had 13 today, so they're one shy of where OSU and 04 and LSU were in 2020 and Georgia in the record.
That's still a huge class. But that was still including a lot of guys. I think they had like three guys taken in the seventh round or something like that. So it's still guys going late. And I think this next year's Ohio State's class is similarly going to probably be spread out through that. You can see the guys who are potentially, both by their play and at their position, in a place where they could push into that first round. Or and certainly day two prospects. And there's going to be other guys like Cody Simon. Like maybe even like Lathan Ransom. Like, I don't know what his ceiling is as a draft prospect. But those guys, like more like day three guys. And I think you're going to see like a three-day presence for Ohio State next year, because even the guys who are a little bit more on the role player side of things probably have a spot in the NFL.
So last thing on the individual players, and then we'll take a break. So we've seen this start to become a theme a little bit in the NFL, where you go get your quarterback, and then the next year you go get one of your quarterback's former weapons in college, and it immediately incites some chemistry there. You saw it with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. I think Devontae Smith and Jalen Hurts, kind of the Eagles did the same thing as the Bengals. Now you have it here. It's not a wide receiver, but, I mean, Cade Stovall probably benefited more than anybody else from year two C.J. Stroud at Ohio State, right? 36 catches, 406 yards, and five touchdowns, and obviously he built on that this past season, even with Colin McCord, 41 catches, 576, and five touchdowns. But he's reuniting with C.J. Stroud down there in a situation where he's also not going to be their number one tight end, because I think Dalton Schultz, they re-signed him as well, who kind of had a quality year as well, 59, 635, and five touchdowns. But are you on the radar, on the lookout for maybe Cade Stover is more productive than he would have been had he gone to any of the other 31 teams, simply because he's playing with a quarterback that he's already got high-level chemistry with, and that quarterback is in his second year as a starter in the NFL?
Yeah, no question. And I think what they have goes a little bit beyond chemistry. I mean, they were both talked about how they became pretty close during their time at Ohio State and how unique that was. You've got a guy coming from the West Coast who has a very C.J. Stroud attitude. I don't know how else to describe it better than that. He is C.J. He's becoming like a social media phenomenon almost. Like,
man,
if you're not just like looking for the times where he goes on a podcast or he has to, like, he's loving it. And the way that he just engages with people, I think is really fun. I think it's going to make him a really, really popular player in the NFL here in future years. And then, you know, Cade is a little bit more like the farm kid from Ohio. And on top of that, you know, a gruff exterior and a guy who I'm sure has plenty of fun in his life too. But there's a difference in attitude there, a difference in background, a difference in, you know, everything, culture, everything. And they made a connection at Ohio State that like sort of transcended the field. And I really imagine, you know, they're not going to do it to just make C.J. Stroud happy, but I'm sure C.J. Stroud spoke up highly of what Cade Stover can be at this next level. Now, he was the eighth tight end taken, and if we had like placed bets on this, even as late as when we did that pod earlier this week, and said, What's like the over under on how many tight ends taken before Cade Stover? We would not have set that at 7.5. Like coming out of the pre-draft, I mean, coming out of the combine, like back just a couple months ago, you know, their talk was out there. Like, is he one of the top three tight ends in this draft? And I think teams have questions about him putting a hand in the dirt, being an inline blocker. And I think that's a fair question to ask. And he hears that, and it's definitely put a chip on his shoulder too. And he is still, relative to other guys being drafted as tight ends, still kind of in his infancy. You have to remember, January 2021, he's playing linebacker in the Rose Bowl. And he had transitioned to tight end earlier that year, but you could tell his heart was still at linebacker. And I think an important note is that in these next 2 years where he was really coming into his own as a tight end, at least as a receiving tight end, he still is fairly young in his tight end life. And I think that makes him an intriguing prospect. And I think that's something else CJ Stroud probably told the Texans, not that they wouldn't have known it themselves, but like, you know, this guy has upside, because I don't think he is anywhere near a finished product as far as being the kind of tight end he can be. The blocking stuff, I think, is legitimate, as much as he hates to hear it. I think there are some legitimate concerns when you start scrutinizing him by an NFL standard as a blocker. But I also know, from an attitude standpoint, from a physicality standpoint, like he brings a lot of the intangibles that you want underlying anybody who's out there trying to block NFL defensive players. And I think that's going to pay off for him as he keeps trying to progress in that way. But from a receiving standpoint, no doubt, you know, CJ Stroud used him liberally that 2022 season, whether it was, you know, underneath stuff where he kind of took the place of what used to be maybe the running back in the offense at times for dump offs and just, you know, stuff underneath of coverage and kind of escape route stuff. And then also, you know, found him in the seam a lot and went vertical with him pretty consistently and found the ways to make him a weapon in the offense. And I think they already have that connection. Like you said, like as soon as he got picked, I kind of went from like, as you look at trajectories, because trajectories are important. Like there's guys who get drafted by the wrong team and it's the wrong situation and their career just kind of never takes off the way it could have if they'd gotten into a better situation or, you know, just the wrong dominoes fall. And if Cade Stover had gotten drafted by a lot of other teams, I would have thought that there's going to be a process before he can be a starter and maybe be a big impact player. But I think that is definitely accelerated with the Texans, just because he already is one of CJ Stroud's favorite receivers before he ever, you know, gets an apartment in Houston.
CJ Stroud lining up for a big year here, both just as a face in the NFL, a young face in the NFL, as you said, with the amount of media he's been doing here, to also what he's doing on the football field. Okay, those are the guys who got drafted today. Tommy Eichenberg as well, who, personality-wise, I don't think I would have said Vegas was the perfect fit for him. But of the other guys who were getting drafted, I think it's not really a shocker that he was the one who got drafted. I'm going to take a quick break here, and then I'm going to throw some numbers at Nathan that I've already thrown at the Texter, 614-350-3315, just projecting things forward. Because small draft class, but there's a reason for the small draft class and what it could be setting up in 2025 here on Buckeye Talk.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
So I ran some numbers. I'm Stephen Means. That's Nathan Bear. Get the text 614-350-3315. We're wrapping up the 2024 NFL draft for Ohio State. Had four players of the nine guys hoping to get drafted. Get drafted to teams. One first round draft pick, one second round draft pick, a fourth rounder, and a fifth rounder. Ohio State, four guys. So here's the numbers that I just crunched immediately, just off the teams who are relevant in this conversation for us. Nathan. Georgia obviously still holds the record in 2022 coming off that 21 national championship team. They jumped over Ohio State's 2004 and LSU's 2020 draft classes, which were both 14. Michigan, one shy of that with 13. Texas had 12. Alabama, Nick Saban's last draft class, 10 guys. And then Oregon and Georgia both with 8. So Oregon with the second highest of the new Big Ten teams. The reason I pointed those guys out as we look forward here is, do we think Ohio State can break the 15-person record? Or can they at least match what they did in 2004 or match what Michigan did this year with 13? And here are the names. I mapped it out. There's 19 guys, non-quarterbacks right now because we don't know who the starting quarterback is. And either way, it makes it 20. But here are the 19 guys who are draft eligible and have a realistic chance of getting drafted, but just where things are right now, how we view them and how their careers have gone based off of some of its recruiting rankings, some of it was they've already done. G. Scott, Seth McLaughlin, Josh Fryer, Ty Hamilton, Cody Simon, Lathan Ransom. Those are the guys who are fifth-year players or older. Fourth-year guys, Travion Henderson, Emeka Ebuka, Joshua Simmons, Donovan Jackson, Jack Sawyer, JT Tuimoloau, Tyleek Williams, Jordan Hancock, Denzel Burke. So as you mentioned, that's a lot of defensive guys. Third year, draft eligible for the first time. I threw a couple flyers, but a couple for certains. Quinshon Judkins, Sonny Styles, Davison Igbinosin, and then I just threw CJ in there just in case like the top 10 recruit in the country turns himself into like, you know, he's awesome this year and is a guy who can go from a third, only playing in his third year to getting going to the NFL draft because we've seen that before at Ohio State. So, in total, that is six guys who are fifth years or older, nine guys who are in their fourth year, and then four third-year guys who are eligible for the first time. Plus, either Will Howard or Devin Brown would make it 20 because Devin Brown getting the job, third-year eligible for the first-time guy who, under the same guise as Mac Jones, Dwayne Haskins, maybe they show something that makes them a NFL draft pick next year and they jump at it. Or with Will Howard, it's just simply because this is their last year of college football and you're not coming back anyway. So that's 20 guys to potentially match Michigan's 13, match Ohio State and LSU's 14, or Michigan's 15. Do you like those odds of matching any of those numbers in 2025 with where things stand right now?
I like more than 13. It's tough. Like you saw how many, because Michigan had, I don't remember how many guys it had invited to the combine this year. Mm-hmm. Maybe like 16, something like that. It was a bunch, and not all those guys got drafted. Just as, you know, not everybody Ohio State brought to the combine got drafted. It's 18 tough guys. 18 guys. So, right, 13 out of 18 get drafted. And, you know, we're also saying this on Saturday night on the 27th. The transfer portal is open until the 30th, so we don't know who else Ohio State might add between now and then that could possibly go on that list. So I would definitely take the over of 13. Once you start getting up to numbers like 15, 16, that's a really, really massive haul. And it doesn't leave you any room. Like, you know, Steel Chambers is a good example. Like a guy who was a three-year starter, and at least parts of three seasons. And athletically, you know, he's got the running back background. I think he profiles well athletically at the next level. And some of the things I said about Cade Stover apply to him too, who's, you know, he's still got some growth in his game, I think, to become a linebacker at the NFL level. At the same time, they need him to be a linebacker in the NFL right now. And he takes an undrafted free agent deal. Actually, we just got that, the details on that. His agency says he's signing with the Detroit Lions. So you know what I mean? Like, there's going to be other guys on the roster that are a little bit like that. When you look at maybe some of the offensive linemen, you look at someone like Cody Simon, you look at someone like Ty Hamilton, there's no guarantee that those guys will be draft picks. But, like, I think Will Howard's going to be a draft pick probably, regardless. But is he a middle-round pick? Is he a late-round pick? Like, there's a lot of variance in some of these guys, and we're already seeing the kind of quarterbacks who are going to, like, the sixth or seventh round. Some of them were pretty accomplished in their college careers going in the latter rounds of this draft. So there's going to be some things that depend on how deep the draft is for some of these positions next year. But I definitely think they can beat 13. I think there's enough certainty with enough guys, especially on this defense, that you can get to 13 pretty easily. I mean, your entire starting four on the defensive line should get drafted. Both your starting cornerbacks should get drafted. Lathan Ransom should get drafted. So that's seven. At least one of the quarterbacks should get drafted. You think at least Will Howard, I would say eight. Both running backs is 10. Mecca Buka is 11. And then, you know, offensive line, Donovan Jackson is probably a draft pick. So right there, that's 12. So you only need a couple of these other guys to pan out to push you. Oh, and Seth McLaughlin.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. I think you've already tied it and on like almost sure things. And as you pointed out, that doesn't include guys who are going to maybe surge this year and make themselves better prospects than they were before. So yeah, I think 13 is, I think they're going to overtake 13. I think when you start pushing towards 16, 15, you really need some big seasons from Cody Simon, G. Scott, Will Kaczmarek, I suppose. I think he'll be eligible at that point. I don't know if he's ready to leave yet. You know, the Josh Friars and Josh Simmons of the world, like this is one of them have like a real breakthrough. So you would need some like really advanced seasons from a couple of these guys who right now you would think are probably on the outside looking in as far as like getting drafted. But they're all intriguing in their own way too, especially someone like G. Scott. Like, you know, maybe he really comes alive this year. I mean, he's got the athletic background to do more than he's done to this point. So is someone like that, Surge? Like, it's one of the many things that makes this a really intriguing team for this fall, because while you have certainty at so many places, there's also upside at so many places where you probably have not seen the best football that some guys who are going to be in important positions have played yet.
They're also going to need Mike Halls, guys who use the pre-draft process to really up their stock a little bit the way he did. Obviously, what he was able to do at the Senior Bowl maybe set the tone for making him this even possible for him being the 54th pick in the NFL draft. He used that, and obviously he didn't do much at the combine, but clearly those meetings went well. And then he built on that with his pro day, and now he ends up going 54th. But that'll wrap up things here. Get the text, 614-350-3315. This is your weekend / Monday pod. The plan going forward is we're going to project forward, continue to project forward as we usually do, projecting out how many first-round draft picks we think Ohio State could have in 2025. Based off of guys who that list I mentioned earlier, the guys who are both fifth-year older guys, fourth-year guys, and also the third-year guys who are eligible for the first time. But get the text, 614-350-3315. The transfer portal is still open until April 30th, and so maybe there's more news that pops out of there. But so far, Ohio State's only lost two guys to the portal. Dallin Hayden, the running back, transfers to Colorado, and then safety Cedric Hawkins, he ends up transferring home to UCF. So that's all they've had so far. It's been kind of quiet on that front. Will that continue to take place over the next couple of days here until that portal closes? Or maybe we'll see a bit of an explosion from Ohio State over the next couple of days as well. So we'll be texting that stuff when recruiting stuff happens. We'll be texting that stuff out as well, plus some more interesting stuff that's going to be happening on the pod this week as well. So get the text, 614-350-3315. For Nathan Baird, I'm Stephen Means, and that was Buckeye Talk.